From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Monday, February 19th, 2018. And on this day, what the closure of Downey's Correctional Facility means for the labor force in Washington County. And some Hannaford employees vote to authorize a strike. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org. And by Lee Auto Malls, four generations serving Mainers since 1936, 19 Maine locations, and at leeauto.com.
Workers at Hannaford's South Portland Distribution Center could soon go on strike. The more than 200 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union overwhelmingly authorized a strike last weekend after rejecting the company's final contract proposal. Patty White has details.
After negotiating for more than a month, Tom Brown of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union says the problem the workers have with the contract boils down to two primary issues.
The people really feel like the company's sticking their nose up at them, and they're not deserving of a decent raise and a fair and equitable percentage of the health care.
Brown says Hannaford's parent company, Ahold Delhaize, has put forth a cost-neutral contract, which would pay for any increases in certain areas by cutting costs in others. One cut that workers didn't find acceptable was the hiring wage, which, according to Brown, would drop to $15 an hour, about $5 an hour less than what it is currently.
God bless the workers. They felt that this was wrong, and they stood by the people that who have not even started working there yet.
Brown says Ahold Delhaize can afford to pay good wages and a higher share of medical costs. The company's fourth quarter sales rose to nearly $20 billion last year. Several hours after the union announced on Monday they authorized a strike, a spokeswoman for Delhaize America Distribution, Christy Phillips Brown, issued a written statement that the parties have agreed to meet next Monday and that there will be no strike pending mediation. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Maine's recreational marijuana law allows adults to grow up to six flowering plants for personal and recreational use. But the legislative committee that is overhauling the law is trying to cut that allotment in half. Steve Missler has more.
Supporters of the proposal under consideration say it would give municipalities more flexibility to craft their own home grow rules. They also say that the larger limit of six plants creates extra supply, which could potentially find its way onto the black market, especially if out-of-state traffickers pay Maine landowners to cultivate on their property. They point to the example of Colorado, which originally allowed residents to grow up to 99 plants, but recently slashed the limit to 12 due to concerns about the black market. And Representative Kent Ackley, an independent from Monmouth, says leaving the existing six-plant limit in Maine could undercut the yet-to-be-launched recreational market.
If we don't have a regulated marketplace where we can control the supply to a reasonable, rational way and prevent the distribution of these products to folks, young folks, who shouldn't have access to it.
But Representative Craig Hickman, a Democrat from Winthrop, says the proposed change would violate the committee's vow last year to leave home cultivation rules alone. Hickman also challenges assertion that the current limit is creating problems, such as the diversion of legally grown cannabis to the black market.
The problems that we say are happening are still in the atmosphere to me. I haven't seen anyone sit there and document the problem and saying, give me this authority to limit home grow on parcels of tractable land in the state of Maine.
Hickman also questions the idea that six plants produces more cannabis than a single person could consume. He says a grower might have a good year and not need to cultivate any more plants for a couple of years after that. Or he says they might have a bad growing season and get a poor yield from the six plants. But the majority of the committee voted in support of the proposal. The vote is one of several incremental steps taken by a panel that is attempting to draft an omnibus bill of rules for the recreational market. The larger bill could be voted out of committee by the end of the week, after which time it'll go to the full legislature for consideration. The committee passed an overhaul of cannabis rules last fall, but it failed to become law. Some believe the current attempt also faces long odds, and its prospect for passage could worsen if legal marijuana advocates organize against the proposal. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Legislative leaders have voted unanimously to allow a new bill this session that requires more disclosure on the financing of ballot initiatives. Ellsworth Democratic Representative Louis Lucchini is sponsoring the legislation, which requires more thorough and more timely disclosure of the spending to get a ballot question approved.
From start to finish, I think the campaign finance of ballot questions needs to be cleaned up. So it's good to know who's paying for the original process just to get it on the ballot, and then who's funding these ballot question committees that pay millions of dollars to promote an initiative.
Lucchini says the effort led by Sean Scott to build a casino in York County was unsuccessful, but the effort to get the question on the ballot cost millions of dollars, and the sources of that funding weren't disclosed until after the petition process was over. Lucchini's legislation is aimed at providing greater disclosure of all aspects of ballot initiative spending. And the future of the Downeast Correctional Facility in Machiasport is now at the center of a political showdown at the Statehouse. The closure of the prison, a minimum security prison, would mean more than the loss of state jobs down east. It would also unravel a system that has supplied the region with labor from prison work release programs and from former inmates who decided to stay in Washington County to rebuild their lives. A.J. Higgins has our story.
It's late in the afternoon at Pat's Pizza in Machias, where manager Nate Burke is making a routine inspection of an employee's workstation.
Pat's Pizza Machias.
Through here is the grill area and down to dishes down there and prep area. Most of his shifts are down there doing either prep stuff or...
Burke is referring to Raphael Bradley, who spent more than 30 years behind bars before arriving at the Downeast Correctional Facility and took part in a work release program that led to a full-time job at Pat's Pizza. Bradley says there are lots of former DCF prisoners who are rebuilding their lives down east.
One friend who just got engaged, he works on a boat, has for like 2 or 3 years now, having a baby. Another friend of mine just bought a garage, started his own shop, who was in there. And everybody I know that was there, only one of them was going back.
According to a 2017 New England Public Policy Center report, Maine has the highest recidivism rate in New England, with 56% of those released from the criminal justice system returning within 3 years. Machias area employers say DCF's recidivism rate is less than half the state average. The minimum security prison was once home to about 150 inmates, an overwhelming majority of whom participated in community improvement projects or paid work release programs at a variety of local businesses. In recent years, Bradley said more and more prisoners have been embraced by the community around the Machias area.
It's made up of a lot of hard-partying fishermen and things like that who have gotten in trouble themselves. So they don't really hold anything against anybody. Everybody around here is pretty much, you've been in jail, so what, so have I.
For employers like Nate Burke, DCF has bolstered a local labor pool that is also affected by the seasonal demands of the blueberry harvests, commercial fishing, and wreath making.
You know, this is porous. I think it is the poorest county in the state. And so obviously there's a lot of people that are unemployed. And, you know, there's some reasons for that, you know, one way or another. But by going through these different programs, such as down at DCF, you know that you're going to have an employee that's going to show up to work and do the job they're supposed to do.
This whole system could change if Governor Paul LePage is successful in blocking a bipartisan effort in Augusta to approve $5.5 million in annual funding to keep DCF open for another year. LePage and other governors before him have viewed the prison as inefficient and prohibitively expensive to maintain. The State Department of Corrections issued layoff notices to staff at the prison and transferred its inmate population to other facilities earlier this month. But for some who are about to finish their stay at the prison, there is still promise here in Washington County.
Future is what I make of it. I mean, this is the first time I've ever been in trouble in my life.
Eric Joseph Finnemore is currently under house arrest as he finishes his last several weeks as a DCF prisoner. He is working for a Machias area landscaping company and is friendly with former prisoners who landed work release jobs at lobster trap companies, blueberry factories, and other businesses, and are now earning a living.
People were making some serious money there. This has been nothing but a great opportunity for the inmates. I've seen inmates leave with $30,000 on their books. I worked for a year and a half, and you make $30,000, you go home with $30,000. That's something to be proud of. I mean, it's a bad experience in a person's life, and creating positive And to take that away, you know, it's going to hurt.
The governor's determination to close DCF is a serious challenge to those who are trying to protect the facility, including Republican Representative Will Toole of Machiasport. Toole sponsored a bill to retain funding for the prison, but after succeeding in the Senate, the measure failed to attract the two-thirds support in the House needed to override a likely veto from LePage. Toole insists the fight is not over.
There's a lot of things up in the air at this point, so some would say we're licking our wounds and looking at all our options and going from there, but we're certainly not going to totally throw in the towel.
Toole says he will redouble his efforts to try and convince enough Republicans in the House to support DCF funding, even though he knows he faces an uphill fight. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm A.J. Higgins.
For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Monday, February 19th, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.